And welcome back to Coast with our special guest this hour, Paul Curcio from the Merlin Project. And what did the time track show for Donald Trump and for us over the next several years? We'll check in with Paul in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Paul Curcio, of course, Coast to Coast favorite, internationally known, respected futurist, longtime student of traditional and esoteric predictive systems. Together, along with George Hart, they run the Merlin Project, which tracks trends for current events, prominent people. And boy, did we do some trending a few months ago, Paul, but welcome back.
Thank you, George.
Wow.
I have to apologize for Dr. Hart tonight. He's a little under the weather, and this gets a little late for him. So
yeah, it does.
I have to tell you, you did a tease piece at the beginning of this segment, talking about how you're not arguing with guests, and you're not plugging any particular thing. I have to tell your audience that is absolutely true. We've been doing shows now since 2003 when you got started on Coast to Coast, and I have never been able to get a straight answer as to how you voted or who you
did I vote? Well, first of all, I don't vote for president. I did not ever want to be accused of favoritism, ever.
Oh, my God.
And so when I'm on the air, until the day I die, I think Walter Cronkite used to do the same thing, because I'm pretty sure I had heard about that from some people who knew him, and they just said, Walter.
I got a chance to meet him once.
I did, too. Great guy.
Did you really?
Yep.
At the Broadcast Center or somewhere else?
I met him at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills on the night of an Emmy Award night, and he was staying there, and he was walking right past me. And keep in mind, I had worked at CBS stations almost all my younger life, and I mean, I just adored the guy. And he goes walking past me, and I stopped him, and I went, you're Mr. Cronkite. And he went, yes, I am, and kept going.
Well, back many years ago, CBS had a Sunday evening newscast that Harry Reasoner did. And I was down there to interview Harry Reasoner for a school project. It was a paper I had to write. And so I got to interview a bunch of major New York radio people. And I got permission to go and visit at CBS on a Sunday night. So I was down there. And I had only one set of instructions directly from Harry, which were, don't photograph me when I'm getting made up. Okay, so I was wandering around the building. This building was empty, and I got to the central newsroom. And in that building, in that newsroom, there used to be one big glassed-in office with a bunch of airplanes and things from the space project hanging down from the ceiling on thread. And there in the middle of all of this was Walter Cronkite. And I'm standing by the door looking in. He looked up, and he says, come on in. So I went in, and I sat down, and he gave me about half an hour. And he had piles of stuff on his desk, one big pile that he referred to as 1968 election coverage dope, and the next space shot. And he was talking about that, and he was so nice. I couldn't even believe he had let me come in, much less have a conversation. And here I was talking to Walter Cronkite, and it was like, this is going to be one of the prime moments of my life. He was just a wonderful fellow. When they said that he used to be considered the most honest man in America,
Uncle Walter.
Yeah, it was quite an experience, I'll tell you. And it's one of those things that really, I really got bitten. And it was from that point on that I got involved in radio and TV, and then eventually got involved in what I'm doing now. But that's what I was doing initially. And it got started in the CBS newsroom back in, I think it was 1966 or something like that, a million years ago at this point. So I'm not going to ask you who you voted for, because now I know you didn't vote.
I didn't vote. No, I'm impartial.
But I'll tell you, an awful lot of people probably wish they hadn't voted. And a whole bunch of others very happy that they voted. And it, we're in the strangest period of time, and people have asked me, well, now that this is over, you know, we can get back to living our lives. And the fact of the matter is, it isn't over.
It's not over. And as your time tracks pointed out, when we were looking at it on November 7th, the day before the election, it was as bizarre as anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, it really was. And some people have said to us that they berated us because they said, well, you favored Hillary Clinton. The fact of the matter is, we didn't favor anybody. I'll tell you, we did favor. We favored Bernie. George and I both thought Bernie was the best pick in those people running. And in the early going of the election year, 2016, we said, and we were the only people who said this, and we said it on your show repeatedly, that the two people that had the best time tracks were Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. And we thought, and you, I think you asked us, well, who did we think was going to be in the final running? And we said it was probably going to be Donald against Bernie.
Yeah.
And I really think that would have happened had the DNC not monkeyed around with the primary results in a couple of states. It would have been Bernie and Donald. And what's really interesting is that a lot of people who were going to vote for Bernie voted instead for Donald, and the party still can't figure out how that happened, because they said, well, those people couldn't have been more opposite. The fact of the matter is, they were both mavericks, and they were both talking about really making changes, and they didn't have the ties into the parties that everyone else did. And so early in 2015, and repeatedly on Coast, we said that that they were going to be the two finalists in the running, and the statistics suggested to us that we had one chance in 750 of picking those two out of the pack at the time we picked them.
Amazing. You know, Paul, when we look at what's been going on, I mean, it's right now as you and I talk, all around the country in sporadic areas, protests, some of them getting a little vicious, protests. They arrested 217 people earlier today in D.C.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why don't they... Well, what do the time tracks say for the country and for Donald Trump over the next 4 years?
Well, it's not going to get better.
It can't get worse.
It can get worse. Yeah. It can get worse if, for instance, there is any the investigations that are going on prove any collusion between the Trump factions, the people who are running the campaign, and the Russians. Not that it's going to change the presidency, although that's going to be discussed perhaps if that turns out to be the case. But there are serious investigations going on, and even in the case of Donald, when he took the oath of office today, he broke the law. In that inauguration statement, he basically broke the law because he is taking money as a private citizen, as the chairman of an organization that's a private entity, by the hotel that he has, the old post office in D.C. And I hear, I don't know whether it's out in the news yet, but my spies tell me that there are going to be organizations as early as this coming week, and certainly within the next month or two, that are going to charge him, basically, because they're going to be hurt by this, and he's doing something which technically is illegal. So if he really doesn't divest himself of these businesses, which is unlikely. He doesn't seem to be the kind of person who is going to back off on that. That's how he's made his money and made his history. If he still continues to do that, we're going to have an ongoing battle about that. And the time track for Donald has a very interesting change point in it. At the end of the first year, were he to be elected, the time track said that there's going to be an extraordinary drop-off in the activity level. It's the kind of thing that that where there's a life change. So it could be, you know, technically it could be health and well-being. It could be impeachment. It could be getting charged criminally with something. But there's going to be a change.
But something dramatic.
Very dramatic, and it's going to happen around the end of the first year. It could be as early as maybe even 6 months into the presidency, but by the end of the first year and into the first few months of 2018, if your listeners go and they look at the time tracks that Lex has put up, because Donald has been up there now for, you know, 18 months or 20 months or something like that. If you look in the period of time at the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018, one of the time tracks, the one that George did that was done for daytime of his birthday, and the one that I did, which was one for run for the nighttime, the hours leading up to daylight on that day, which is June 14th, 1946. If you look at the next year, so the year 2018, you will see the time track go from a tremendous amount of activity to nothing. In one time track, it's completely blank, and in the other, it's a very slender line of blue, which is often connected with things like health. And that blank spot in the time track, that literally dropout, goes on for at least a year, which would suggest that something changes at the end of the first year or thereabouts, and he's doing something else by the beginning of the second, by the beginning of the third year. And if you look at Pence's chart, you see that there is a higher degree of activity that it ramps up at the end of 2017 and is much higher activity in 2018 and 19 than 2017 was. So that would almost confirm that there's some kind of change that causes a change in his political history. So I'm inclined, and I haven't had a conversation with Dr. Hart about this, so I'm going on this alone, that at the end of the first year or thereabouts, anywhere from 6 months into the presidency out to about maybe 15 months or thereabouts, there will be a sizable change in circumstances that looks like it changes the life of that presidency. So is there going to be something more excitement going on? It looks like there is going to be.
Well, that's going to be easy to track too, though, Paul, won't it?
Absolutely. Well, what's not easy to track is what form it takes.
What it is.
That's always a problem for us.
Right.
We can see the time of the change, the size of the change, the length of the change, but not really the actual circumstances. We have to kind of take a guess at that, and it would be something really sizable. So like health and well-being, like impeachment, some kind of change. Melania could find out that she's going to be living in New York for the next half a year at least. Donald is not real good at playing a single.
I hope he realizes, though, Paul, he's not going to be able to walk into a restaurant like he does now or like he did and just sit down and order a dinner. And those days are gone.
You know what? I'll bet that those tunnels that JFK had installed in the White House to basically be able to sneak out are still there.
Yeah, you're right.
It may be one of the first things Donald checks out. So
yeah, JFK used to do it. And in New York, I'm told he used to go to Greenwich Village and hang out in bars and stuff by himself.
He could easily have done that. You wouldn't expect to see him, and so consequently, with a little bit of makeup, he could have probably gotten away with it. Donald may have a little harder time.
He's going to need a lot of makeup to hide.
That's right. A lot of makeup is right. So in terms of the first, let's say, 18 months, okay, there is at least one big change in that 18-month period, more likely in the first 6 to 12 months or 6 to 15 months, probably around the end of the first year.
Now, All right.
It looks sizable.
When you looked at Barack Obama, did he have similar things happen where you said, well, 6 months in, a year in, there's going to be something big?
Well, we said on your show that when he was about maybe 12 to 15 months into the second term, and we said there was going to be a second term, we said it probably halfway through the first term when everybody had written him off, said he's going to be a one-term president, about 12 to 15 months into the second term, we said that the bottom was going to drop out for him and his ratings were going to fall. And if there was going to be, you know, issues where the presidency was going to end for some reason or other, or there was going to be plenty of trouble with the other side that was going to cause him unending problems, it was going to happen at roughly the 12 to 18 month juncture. And George said repeatedly that we were going to see the rise of the Tea Party people, and it's the Tea Party people that put this guy in the White House.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is when he gave out numbers last week, Donald did, about the size of the turnout for the inauguration, he was talking about, you know, outpacing the turnout for Obama. And they made the estimates today, and they said he may have gotten something like 25% of the number of people who showed up for the Obama inauguration.
All right. The weather might have contributed to some of that.
Well, it probably did, but it wasn't raining at the time, and it didn't start raining, it turns out, until he started to get his address.
Yeah, the clouds opened.
You know, that's exactly right. And you would have had to make plans just to get to Washington. I heard that the 200 buses showed up for Obama, and 10,000 showed up for Obama.
What I told my guest right before you came in, Paul, was the telltale heart for me will be on how he handles North Korea in this whack job there, and whether he tries to befriend him or gets tough with him. Something's gonna happen there, and my prediction is that that's the spot where we're gonna really be able to test his presidency, or something big happens.
Well, you may recall that about a year ago, George brought up the fact that we were about to see Kim Jong Un starting to saber rattle, and he did point in time,
and he hasn't stopped now.
And now I hear that he has an ICBM which can reach our West Coast.
I'm not sure the missile can get here, but he claims that it probably can. We could take that chance, though.
I agree with you. And you may remember that Dr. Hart cut his teeth on the Star Wars program.
That's anti-missile.
The anti-missile program. And in fact, he's partly responsible for the Israeli Iron Dome, which has been very successful over the last few years in bringing down Scud missiles and various other things. And what I think George is a little concerned about is that the Pentagon may be ringing the phone pretty soon saying, hey, George, you're interested in coming back? We need some work.
We need this thing.
Star Wars.
It may happen. Paul, stay with us. We're going to take this quick break. We shall come back in a moment and take phone calls with you. Paul Gersio with The Merlin Project website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. They've also got some great apps for you. I'll have them talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Paul Gersio with us. We'll get to your calls. Paul, you have a great app for Merlin, but to tell folks how they can find it, because there's a special app they need to look for.
Well, first of all, there's tens of thousands of apps, maybe millions at this point. And so you got to get the name spelled right.
Otherwise, you'll never find it.
You'll never find it. It's an app that there's a slight fee. It's 99 cents for a week, and then less than $30 for the whole year. A little bit like the deal that you guys have for the
insiders. That's right.
That's right. And it gives you a chance to run these time tracks yourself for your life and for anybody around you. The date you started your last job, the date you started the relationship, the date you started having that affair, or whatever. It will give you a snapshot of what time is going to do with that event over the next, in some cases, the lifetime, in some cases, the next 7 to 10 years. And it will be right about 8 times out of 10. As a matter of fact, I've been meaning to ask you this for a long time. You've had a chance to watch us now for 13 or 14 years.
Sure have.
With every possible subject matter. What score would you give us on a 10 rating being the best and 1 being the least good? Where would you score us?
As being prophetic?
Yes.
8.5.
Well, that's better than we score ourselves.
Really?
Yeah, we give ourselves what we say is that we're right. We're going to be right about 70% of the time minimum, and given the right set of time track dates, it goes as high as about 80%. So 8 times out of 10, we're going to be right. So 8.5 is better than
I would have given. And you know what would have pushed you over 9, if you would get to the point where you can perfect Merlin to predict what will happen, not that something will.
You have no idea how much we've talked about that. And one of the reasons why we think that that's probably not going to happen is because the factors that come into play in terms of what an event becomes, not when it's going to happen or how long it's going to last or how much of an impact it's going to have on life or circumstances, but there are so many other factors involved. Health is involved. The people that you hang out with, how much you believe in yourself. There's a whole bunch of factors that are psychological issues that Merlin doesn't address. And so consequently, we can't predict that kind of thing. Now, I ran into an article this past week about somebody who's a biographer of Donald Trump, and they said one of the reasons why he's continuing to replay not the election so much, but what led up to the election, is that he's trying to convince himself that this actually happened because he didn't believe it was going to happen. So now that it's actually occurred, when you can sit back and relax, at least on that issue, he keeps doing things that you have to say, who is he trying to convince? He's president, okay? And the issue is he keeps being convinced that it's all gonna disappear in a flash, and I wonder sometimes if things like this issue with the Russians is being provoked as much by his ill concern about this that he's actually won the presidency as to whether there's actually anything that Putin's done.
Well, when he wakes up in the morning in the White House, he's gonna realize that he won the election.
Well, I think when he got the briefing on the nuclear codes is when that happened.
Yeah, that's true too.
It may take the morning from through. They say, by the way, you're right about that. That when you wake up in the White House the next morning,
it's got to be weird.
That's right, where it finally dawns on you. But this whole thing about whether he's actually been president, and you have to look at some of the stuff he's done in the last, several weeks, ever since he won the election. And she says, here's the guy, doesn't he get it? Doesn't he understand he's already there? He doesn't need to convince anybody anymore. And the more he does do that, I think, the more a question mark develops. You say, well, if he's not convinced, maybe he knows something. Maybe he knows that maybe they were in cahoots with the Russians and so on, and he knows it, and he's afraid somebody's going to really find it out. I'm not convinced that that's true. But then by the same token, I'm not convinced it isn't, because when you do that kind of thing, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy when you do that kind of thing. And I'm very familiar with how often that can actually develop mm-hmm. into a real event. So about the time tracks, you go, if you have, they're available both on
Apple and Android.
That's right, and Apple. If you have an Apple phone, you go to the icon that's on your phone that says App Store, and you look for the word time track spelled TimeTrakS. There's no C, but there's an S on the end of it. Time tracks. If you have an Android, you go to the Google Play app on your phone, and it says it right there. It's right. There's an icon on the phone. You press the icon. It takes you to the store. You look up TimeTrakS. Okay. As I said, there's a very low fee for this. And you get when I actually do a chart for somebody and all of the work that we do when we're on the air, you're looking at $300, $120 minimum. Huh.
You can do it now for 99 cents.
That's right, and you can do it as often as you want. And if you buy the thing for a year for under $30, you get to run as many of these things as you want. Just don't go into business with them, or we'll find you.
You'll get them. Okay. Let's take the calls.
Right.
Ready? Let's go to John in Tampa, Florida, to get this started. Hey, John, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, how are you guys doing?
Good, John. Thanks.
A quick question. Is there any tracks on Hillary Clinton and any collusion that might have gone on with domestic media as far as the FBI?
They did track Hillary, but Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, we ran Hillary. The reason we ran Hillary, by the way, is because in 2008, as early as 2006, we had done up Hillary and come to the conclusion that she was not going to be the president in 2008, and concluded that Barack Obama was going to outpoint her in the primaries. And we're right about that. And then in 2011, we said that Obama was going to seek and get a second term when everybody thought he was going to be a one-term president. So yes, we did. We did Hillary. And if you go to the time tracks that the Coast has up, and if you just all you have to do is actually go to the main Coast site, go to the search box, type in Merlin time tracks. Or even just time tracks, TimeTrakS, you will see a whole series of these things that Lex has put up there, and you can actually see what we saw and probably come to a similar conclusion to the one we did, which was that Hillary wasn't going to be president. Some people say, well, you said the night of the election that she was going to... What we said was she looked like she had an edge, and everybody else thought she had more than an edge. They thought that was a conclusion.
Well, and she did get the popular vote.
That's right.
I keep telling people.
And we tell people, and they don't seem to buy this, is that in every other kind of game we play, the popular vote is the vote. There's no such thing as
the election. You may have to start prefacing everything by saying, so-and-so will win by the popular vote. I don't know if they'll win the election, because it all depends on the electoral.
We have had to do things like that over the years, because we found out that if you don't do that, somebody's going to say, you were wrong. No, we weren't wrong. We were actually right, except that in the one peculiar case of American elections, we rely on the Electoral College vote, and even there, there was an attempt put on, many of you may have noticed it, to get the electors to change their vote on the day they were actually electing the president, which was January 6th or something like
January...
that. No, it was 19th. It was
December 19th.
And there were people that switched votes. They didn't switch enough of them, and they didn't switch them for Hillary. But that could have been definitive if there were enough people who decided to change their mind.
Yeah, that would have been dramatic.
So, you know, anyway, so yes, we've done Hillary, and we concluded from the very beginning that Hillary wasn't going to be the candidate. We sort of backed off that the night of the election because everybody was so convinced she was going to win. Even your numbers lady said she was going to win.
Yeah.
And she was on right before us, and we kind of threw up our hands and said, oh.
Even John Hogue, the Nostradamus expert, said that.
Norton, Nate Silver, everybody. And the fact that he only won by 80,000 votes spread over three states is curious.
Yeah. Jennifer in Palo Alto, California. Hello, Jennifer, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I love your show. We do. We've watched for a long, long time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have been upset. You know, we've been upset about what's going on with the Democrats and all the nasty things and the criminal stuff and everything, worried. Finally, Trump is elected today. He becomes the president of the United States. And I turned you on. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's going on with George Norrie having someone saying the things they're saying tonight of all night?
Because we say what we see, and we can't be bought. So we don't have a preference. In fact, many times somebody's been elected that we didn't like at all and wouldn't have voted for.
Well, I haven't heard you say anything wrong or bad tonight.
Well, we basically say what we see with the time tracks, and the time tracks have turned out to be right. You know,
hold on for one second, Jennifer. You missed Dr. John Curtis last hour, who was raving about Donald Trump. By the way, raving. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, it's we don't have. Look, when you're in the prediction business, or you're in the weather forecasting business, you can't afford to have an opinion of it that doesn't follow what the weather tracks say. Okay, it's the same kind of thing. We are out in the business of being right. We're not always happy with what we're seeing, but we'll tell you what we do see, and we don't manipulate it. So otherwise, we wouldn't have the scorecard that we have over the years, or be invited back on shows like yours.
Well, and here's the important thing, too. I think people need to understand that talking about facts and truth and trying to get the information out is so much different than opinion, which we're not taking. I have said this a million times already. I am impartial. I go down the middle. If Hillary Clinton was doing a great job, I would have been saying that. If Donald Trump was doing a great job, I would be saying that. If he fails, I'll talk about that. I want the truth. Bottom line, I want them all to succeed. Unlike us, some, you know, other hosts will say, I want that person to fail. I don't want anybody to fail. I mean, if they fail, we fail.
That's it. You're right. Yeah, that's the one thing that people don't realize. If Donald Trump is not successful, we're not going to be successful.
Exactly. Exactly. I want him to do things for America that might not have been done in years. I hope he just takes off and becomes one of the greatest presidents ever. I hope so. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Juan in Atlanta, Georgia, welcome to the show. Hi, Juan. You are up with us.
Hey, George, and then hey, Paul.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey.
My question was, have you done the contract for the cabinet for Donald Trump?
No, he has not done that yet.
We haven't done that. And basically, I know enough about cabinet choices to know that only approximately one cabinet choice per candidate, per president, gets turned back, no matter what's going on. It's very unlikely that the president doesn't get his choices confirmed. And the question really would be, do we think they'll be successful when they get confirmed and are going to be there for any length of time? That we might be able to put a score on, but that's different.
I just hope we all take a moment to say a little prayer for Donald Trump, for his family, and hope that what happens for the future of our country and for him is just fantastic. And I hope we just move forward as a nation. I really do. We've got some bumpy times ahead, and no one person, folks, has got that magic wand.
I agree with you completely.
A lot of work. Scott is in Iowa. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Scotty.
Hi. I even talked with Tommy, George. In order to do this, there's 21 of us that I've talked to here in the small town of Iowa. First of all, if you did away with the electoral vote, well, forget Iowa, forget the Dakotas,
yeah,
and many other states. You know, you might as well just have California.
And that's why they put it in.
Do that.
You're right.
Right, exactly. Now, my question is, during the next election, instead of saying who's president, because 16 people have come on and said, oh, well, we won, we predicted it. No, you didn't. What I'd like to see, really, is a question like, who will take office as president of USA? It doesn't matter how they got the vote. As I said, if it did, I couldn't vote.
Who will physically be in there?
Yeah, that's another one of those quasi-psychological questions.
The problem is, with prophecy, it deals with the emotions of people. It somehow picks up on the masses. And in this particular case with Hillary, it picked up on the populace, and people made their predictions that she was going to win.
And in the case of what we're doing, it's strictly math. It's not, we don't factor in the psychology. It was one of the reasons why the electoral college would have been wrong this time, and also in 2000 with Al Gore, it would have been the same problem would have developed. You can't factor in the psychology. You're factoring only in the numbers. And that's what we're looking at. And if the numbers say it's going to be so-and-so, then we're going to say it's going to be so-and-so.
That's right.
All of those other things are peculiar, and it is peculiar, way of picking a president. I understand why it's done that way. And your caller there, Scott, was elaborating on it at the beginning of the call. You're right. That's the way it's done, and it's to protect little states with smaller populations and so on.
To give them a voice.
And there were only 13 colonies when they wrote this stuff. So, I mean, I think they did a pretty remarkable job. And I also think that we are in the era of paying more attention to numbers than we ever did. And consequently, there's so much of what we do these days is based on what the computer says, and the computer can be very wrong. So the numbers don't always tell the whole story.
No, no, they don't. Paul, thanks. Let's keep in touch, my friend. What's next on your plate, by the way?
Well, actually, we want to take a break and do what Barack Obama is going to do, is go to a warm place and play golf for a while.
Go take it easy.
You too. Take good care.
Okay, my friend. Paul Gursio, Merlin. The Time Tracks, of course, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Now, let's take a breather and bring in Mark Zakri to talk about sci-fi and some action and some Twilight Zone stuff. Let's have some fun. It's Friday night, and we'll do it in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com.